Blog Talk Radio.
To the Real Sports Guys Talk Radio, where real guys talk real sports. You got Marcus, Ray, and Vaughn here on the horn for the night for the next hour. And we want to invite you to come and join us around the table at 347-989-0844. That's 347-989-0844. Marcus is also going to be on in the chat room with folks who want to get in there, and if they don't want to call in and talk a little bit about what's going on with the game tonight. We got a lot to talk about in the world of sports, and so we invite you to come around the table with us. But as we always do, we go to our man in the post. Even though he was a wing player, he could post, Marcus, to get us into the game a little bit tonight. So Marcus, what you got on the table?
Well, you know, I like to, you know, I think we should start off the show kind of touching on this whole wrapping up the whole college football, you know, expansion, the conferences kind of shuffling around. It's been a real interesting process. It's actually been great theater to kind of pay attention to from afar. And I actually feel pretty comfortable about how things, you know, for me, like, just things fitting right. You know, the Big Ten has always been a Midwest-based conference, and they're here to talk about them pulling teams from the East Coast, you know, pretty much for TV money. While I understand it, it didn't sit right. And then hearing, you know, the Pac-10, which, you know, to me is all the West Coast schools trying to pull in the Texas schools and even trying to pull or reach out to an Oklahoma, that you know, I understand why. It's about the money. You know, it's all about the Benjamins. I get that. But at the same time, it just didn't sit right. It offended my sensibilities and my understanding, you know, of what college football is supposed to look like, you know, what conferences are supposed to look like and how it's supposed to be a regional thing. So, you know, we're wrapping that up, you know. Texas decided to stay in the Big 12. The other Texas schools seem like they're going to follow suit and hang on. Texas is obviously showing that they're a true institution of higher education, as they basically, you know, put on a pretty good poker face and swindled a nice little deal for themselves, getting a couple, you know, extra million out of the deal to stay in the Big 12. And it's funny, I was just, you know, doing a little research, and I saw a quote from a headline on ESPN. Missouri governor says Big 12 is better minus the defections. Ain't that something? Y'all was in a boat. Oh, but now the conference is better, that the mother, the riffraff is gone. The conference better now. Okay. You know, that just struck me as funny right there. You know, and the Big Ten picked up Nebraska, which is, I think that's a great fit for the Big Ten. Nebraska's strong in a lot of sports, not just football. Men's basketball could be a little bit better, but overall I think, you know, that athletic department is going to add a lot to the Big Ten, and it's still in the Midwest. Colorado going to the Pac-10, who cares? Colorado ain't been relevant in a minute. I mean, since Chauncey Billups and Cordell Stewart was on campus.
That's right.
You know, they ain't been relevant in a long time. So, I mean, the fact that they left, you know, whoop-de-doo. If the Pac-10 can pull out of Utah and get Utah involved out there, It ain't Texas, but it ain't nothing to sniff at. So, you know, I kind of wanted to throw out and get y'all opinions on how everything shook out. Oh, yeah, and Boise State. Boise State made a move. I actually would have liked to see the Pac-10 chase them because I think that could have been a good fit. I don't know what the academic standards are at Boise State, and maybe that was something that the Pac-10 kind of wasn't really of interest to them. But, you know, going to the Mountain West, I think that definitely helps the Mountain West, which is a conference that, you know, football at least is going to be pretty competitive.
Yeah, and I was going to say, I'll get you back on this, Ray, but I was going to say that, you know, the thing about Texas was that, you know, getting that network and, you know, and really wanted to get their own network deal. You know, I think in the end, they may have positioned themselves because Oklahoma stayed quiet and stayed there. There's still some good rivalries even with Nebraska. You know, Nebraska's football was on its way up, but it wasn't where it had been under Osborne. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, they learned to live in that conference, you know, without Nebraska being a powerhouse. And so, you know, for a lot of young folks, you know, in terms of Nebraska being a relevant team, it's been a while. So, you know, they're not in a bad spot right now. And I think that, you know, if they want to regroup and, you know, even with Nebraska leaving, if they can find a way to pull somebody else in there, Big 12 could be relevant. They're going to have to do something about the money. And I think that's what everybody was complaining about. So, you know, one of the things you have to look at is the leadership in the conference and finding somebody who can give them a better deal in terms of revenue. You know, that's something that they're going to have to work on if they're going to try and keep it intact.
I think Texas, all of those Texas teams sticking together was something that was important for Texas.
Yeah,
and I think
agree.
With Texas getting their own television contract and all of that Texas money staying in Texas, I think that was important just for those four teams. You don't know what's going on behind doors, and you don't know that the Big 12 isn't talking to some of those Pac-10 teams saying, look, you really didn't do what you wanted to do. Your conference isn't really where it wanted to be. Why don't you slip down here and join us, you know?
Uh-huh.
You don't know what moves they're going to make. Now, you know,
the next shoe to drop, in my opinion, is
sure.
Where, because, you know, Texas, they gained a little bit of money with the TV deal. Well, they gained a good amount of money with the TV deal. I'm not going to sniff at the millions and millions of dollars that they're going to bring in with that. But they lost the championship game.
Right.
Because now that the conference is at 10, they can't have a conference championship game. You have to have 12 teams to have that conference championship game, which is a huge moneymaker for these conferences. So, you know, where does the Big 12 go as far as bringing in additional teams at this point without snatching, you know, maybe they snatch some teams from the Mountain West? I'm looking at the Mountain West's roster right now, and that's Air Force, BYU, Colorado State, New Mexico, San Diego State, TCU, UNLV, Utah, Wyoming. None of those really strike me as would be a huge pull. I mean, I don't think they're going to snatch anybody from the SEC. It's possible, but...
I mean, what about somebody like a, you know, even though it's a little bit out of the region, what about like a Cincinnati now that, you know, if they continue to play, you know, decent football, you know, they got a decent basketball program. I don't know about some of their other sports, but in some of those revenue generating sports, I mean, what about a Cincinnati in terms of, you know, if they continue to play at the level of football that they've been playing the past few years?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I don't think mileage is important. You know, when they start talking about Texas coming up to the Big Ten, you know, that told you that, you know, it's just a plane ride. That's all they're looking at. So,
yeah, but I'm talking about in terms of brand. I mean, I think some of these conferences need to also talk about, you know, be thinking about brand identity. And one of the things that I think, Marcus, you said about the Big Ten, which making the Big Ten solid, is that they're building that Midwest brand. I mean, they didn't.
Right.
You know, I think, you know, people talk about the Penn State move in that, and you can argue that, but for the most part, you know, they got that Midwest brand. And I wouldn't put it past some teams in the SEC who have been getting beat down a little bit, you know, Arkansas, some other folks who, you know, might see an opportunity to let their program grow a little bit, not jump out of the SEC. I mean, don't everybody in the SEC kind of act like, you know, ain't nothing going to happen, but, you know, some of these teams, you know, like the mid-level teams who are, you know, right in that region, you know, don't put it past them, you know, if it's the right mix.
You're going to have to wait to see what a conference championship, you know, tournament would look like. Not necessarily a tournament, what a conference championship in the Big Ten is going to look like to see how these other leagues, you know, decide what they're going to do. Right now, you know, with Nebraska. See, the thing about the Big Ten is that they never brought in anybody that didn't enhance that league.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they didn't, you know, I don't see where Colorado enhances the Pac-10.
Yeah,
it's just adding another team. If we could have gotten, you know, a Texas, it would have enhanced. And I think that's why we're kind of, you know, kind of holding off. You see the Big Ten kind of holding off on Missouri.
Yeah.
We're just going to wait a little bit because now we have an even amount of teams. Exactly. If we had an odd number of teams, I think they would have pulled them simply, you know, for the regional effect. Like you say, it's Midwest. You know, we skipped over Missouri to take, you know, to take Nebraska. So if we were able, and I think that might be the whisper in the ear to Notre Dame. Mm-hmm. We'll take you, but you better get Missouri to come with you.
Mm-hmm.
And the same thing with Missouri. We'll take you, but you better get Notre Dame to come with you. Because we're not going to take one team again. We're going to take two. And we're going to keep it an even number. We're going to have divisional play, you know, and we're going to run it that way. So, you know, an odd Big Ten wasn't really, you know, as pretty as a 12-team Big Ten is going to look like. So, you know, you wait to see how this is going to roll out, and these other conferences are going to have to wait and see. I don't think they're done. I just think things are on hold at this time.
I think the next step for the Big 12 would be to look at some of those Texas schools that are in the conference are in Conference USA. You know, maybe your Rice, maybe a SMU. You know, SMU used to have some tradition back in the day, or even a UTEP, which is a pretty hot team, or Houston. You know, that may be where they look now to strengthen that Texas stronghold that the conference could have. I mean, bring back the old SWAC.
Well, I think, you know, I think that Nebraska was always a bit, you know, always a bit put off by the Big 12. Always a bit put off about how everything rolled out of Texas. You know, the headquarters in Texas, everything rolls out of Texas. They have the most schools. They have the biggest voting bloc. And even when they were national contenders, you know, it didn't matter to the conference because, you know, there were four schools in Texas that were ruling the roost. You know,
but the one thing they're going to lose is that they're recruiting in Texas. So, you know, because you're playing so many teams in Texas, you can get a player out of Texas to come to Nebraska and play because they're going to be playing games back in Texas. So I think I wonder how that's going to affect, you know, their recruiting, their ability to recruit in Texas, given that, you know, some of these kids from Texas are not going to be playing, you know, as many games or, you know, maybe Nebraska's still going to play some teams out of conference in the Big 12.
Well, I think that's all going
to be rivalries going.
That's going to be dependent on who they get down in the Big 12. If they get somebody, you know, like you say, SMU or Houston, you know, then I think, you know, they will get those players that Nebraska were getting.
Yeah.
But they've got to be playing against those teams that those, you know, they've got to be playing in the Big 12 to do that.
Yeah. And Nebraska may have a rough go of it in Texas as far as recruiting go for a minute just because of the perception of, like, y'all ran out on us.
Right.
You know what I mean? Y'all ran out on the conference. This next year for Colorado and Nebraska is going to be interesting when they go on the road. I mean, as a lame duck program in the conference, you're going to be leaving, and now you're going into all of these arenas, all of these stadiums with a huge, huge target on your back.
Mm-hmm. And they got to hope that the Big Ten has a good year all around.
Yeah.
That helps to build momentum for them to promote their move to the Big Ten. You know, you got to be a Big Ten team in a national hunt. You know, if you got a Big Ten team win a national title, you know, that would put some energy. But they got to hope the Big Ten has a good showing in the bowl season as a part of them, you know, building that hype for them moving to the Big Ten. One thing I want to say is y'all mentioned Notre Dame. You know, Notre Dame is kind of like that cat in the club who's wearing a suit he don't know that's out of date. Like polyester, and he's still wearing a curl, and he thinks that he's still on the stage. And, you know, and every time I look at it, I'm like, what evidence do you have that what you have is going on? And they just, it's like they're delirious. It's like they're drinking their own Kool-Aid.
But the thing about Notre Dame is, you know, They as bad as you might want to think that their program is, they're still Notre Dame.
Yep.
And
but what does that mean? What does that mean?
The NBC TV deal.
Yeah, but that's
they're getting
their
own
money.
They're like the Master P of college football. They're getting their money independently. No matter how bad the records are, no matter how bad the rapping is, they're getting money.
The other side of that is that they don't have to listen to anybody else.
Exactly.
You know, they don't have to put themselves in Nebraska's shoes where they're in a conference where everybody dislikes them. Like you say, you look at him with the, you know, as the dude with the polyester suit and the bad curl. I look at him as that they're real clean. They just ain't got the game, you know. They're sending notes over to the table. Can I buy
right.
you a drink?
Right.
They ain't got enough. They can't man up. But
they got
but
money. The product ain't good. They're
right.
making money.
Because
you know,
I'm trying to figure out, are they making money? I mean, is NBC, what benefit are they getting out? I mean, it's almost like NBC feels like they got to keep the deal. Because I don't see the evidence. I don't know how they're actually, you know, making off the deal. I mean, I just, you know, Notre Dame has probably been relevant maybe a couple times or what, in the last how many years?
But
Notre Dame
has that Kanye West effect on people. It's like whether you love them or hate them, you feel something. And that's all they care about, is they move
not
the
only
needle.
That, they're they're two recruiting classes away from being Notre Dame of old. You know, let them come into contention again, and they'll make money like nobody's business. And I think that's what they realize.
And that's what
that,
they're satisfied
with the money they're getting now.
They're looking at the upside.
Right. They could certainly, and the numbers, you know, the numbers that the Big Ten pushed for them showed them that they could make more money. But somebody in Notre Dame said, that's today. What if we carry this lead? What
right.
are we going to get? Because
right.
those, you think the mother teams are going to vote to give us more money than they're getting? I don't think so.
But if you're an 18-year-old recruit, you know, I love Colin Cowherd talks about this. You're an 18-year-old recruit, and you walk into Austin and walk around Austin and look at all the beautiful people, and then you walk in the South Bend. I mean, you walk to Gainesville and you walk around, look at all the beautiful people, and then you walk to South Bend. This ain't the 1970s.
No,
so
no.
Kids know that their parents can fly. They're gonna be on ESPN, and so I mean, yeah, they're gonna have. I mean, they got the right coach because what they're taking is almost like the Utah Jazz version of football. They said, let's get a solid coach, let's get a pile, and then let's just build off that. And, you know, if we get a guy who can really coach and coach him up, that's how we're going to get back in there. We're not just going to
make
their
own
right
schedule.
Move.
They make their own schedule.
Yes, right.
So, I mean,
right.
you know, in any given year, six out of that 10 games should be heavily favored in a lot of those games.
But
you know,
but
so they can put together a string of three to even two 10-win seasons, you know, that's going to really raise the profile of that program. And that's, again, that's what they're looking at. Like, look, our product is bad now, but we're still making money. If we put out a good product, they're looking at the upside of it.
Right.
Like, our product is bad right now, we're still making headway. If we can
turn
it around.
And the other side of it, fellas, the other side of it is that you're not hitting on is that I don't know what the endowment for Notre Dame looks like.
Yeah.
I don't know how much money they actually
make
in football. They got a lot of money. They got a lot of money. You know, they've got a lot of loyal alum. They got a lot of money, period. And so
I read somewhere that the TV deal, actually a lot of that TV deal money goes back into the academic programs.
Yeah. And what I would say is another part about it is that USC will be down. I mean, the last couple of years, USC will be down to one. You know, they had several bumps in a row, but, you know, they had a couple of years where they were good. And if they would have beaten USC, that would have put them in to a BCS game. And so, you know, USC is going to be down. So, I mean, they got some things going in their favor here over the next, you know, 3 or 4 years to get back on the bubble. But, you know, someone said today.
The USC situation, it upsets my stomach.
Yeah.
For the simple fact that, like, none of the players are there anymore. Carroll is gone. Bush is gone. Leinart is gone. Lindale White is gone. All of those cats are gone. And the new coaches, and even though Kiffin was there, Kiffin probably had some involvement in it. But you got a new regime, you got all new kids, and now these kids have to suffer. You know what I mean?
But how else do you do it?
How else do you do it? But what I would say is they need to allow these kids to transfer, no penalty, no sitting out a year. They need to allow these kids to transfer without having
to sit
out a year.
But the other thing is
I think they're allowing the freshmen and the sophomores. I want to say the freshmen and sophomores, I think they did allow them to transfer with no penalty.
Okay.
What I was just hearing.
We talked about how
I think the juniors and the seniors don't get it, but I think they set it up so that the freshmen and the sophomores, I want to say it was the freshmen and sophomores that they're allowing to transfer with no penalty.
Okay.
I could be corrected, but I thought that's what I heard lately.
I think they should be, you know, if they, you know, we talked about the NCAA not having any teeth, and it, you know, you have situations all the time, you know, where programs find themselves in trouble with coaches that aren't there anymore,
mm-hmm.
and there's no repercussion for that. There's no way to go after that coach who was, you know, at the fore of all that problem. And they need to come up with a way to penalize those coaches.
Right.
You know, you're not going to see Carroll if the NCAA said, look, you can't come back. You know, them coaches might take a little bit of a different look at how they recruit and the violations they find themselves. You know, at the end of the day, they know what happened.
Right.
You know, rather they're whispering under their breath, you know, go and make this happen or make sure that the Bush family is, you know, sad.
And the thing about it is the NCAA has done that before. Ty Bozeman.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? They basically told you, hey, you ain't coming back. You know, they've done that before.
I think, you know, if they could just tie up some of their money, you know, tie up some of that money and say, look, you know, this is your pay. I don't care what you negotiate with the school. You can make as much money as you want to make, but a certain percent of it is going to be tied up into your retirement so that if you, you know, all of a sudden now find yourself in violation, maybe that gets donated back to the school because, you know, you don't deserve that.
Yeah.
You don't deserve that money. That school is going to be on probation. Those wins are going to go away. The Heisman has to go back, you know, that kind of thing. The shame is on the school and everybody that's still there. The people that were involved, there's no...
Millionaires.
They're millionaires. They don't care.
They're millionaires. They don't care. Reggie Bush don't. I mean, if he loses Heisman, it's probably going to not feel good, but he'll get over it.
Right.
You know,
but if you
he's
going to
take a bath, he's going to take a bath in a couple of
weeks. Camera helping.
Right.
I mean, like, that's okay.
You know, Matt Leinart ain't going to fret, you know, that he,
right.
You know, his stats from that season don't count. Whoop-de-doo.
He'll have another pool
party. Carroll don't care. He got what he wanted. He got another pro job.
You knew it was trouble when Pete Carroll went to Seattle, man, because you knew something was coming up because he left so quick.
And now he's acting all surprised.
And then that kid came back from Tennessee. You know,
he just walked out of Tennessee. I think he might be having a little bit of buyer's remorse on that.
Mm-hmm.
But he got what he's supposed to get, you know. Because sometimes you got to just have your own brand. You know, he had to go out in Tennessee, and sometimes you just do your own thing.
Yeah.
You know, you don't need to go chase that. You got something. You can build your own stuff. Coaches learn that. Build your own stuff. Man, quit trying to rent it.
Yeah.
I can't believe it. But,
So speaking of build your own stuff, Izzo decided to just stay. You know, he was flirting with the Cavaliers and thinking about going to Cleveland. You know, I read earlier today that he decided he was going to stay in Lansing.
I don't see how I think they're going to have a hard time getting a coach in Cleveland without so much up in the air.
Yep.
You know, and it's a damned if you do, damned if you don't situation. I mean, if they hire you, if LeBron came out tomorrow and signed a contract with Cleveland, you would think coaches would just run to Cleveland, you know, sign me up. But at the same time, in the back of your mind, you got to go, wait a minute, it ain't just about LeBron. It's his entourage and people that he's dealing with.
Mm-hmm.
They just got rid of the whole front office. You really got 2 or 3 years to put it all together. They're going to, you know,
And the fact of the matter is you can win 60 games for 2 straight years and get fired. Mike Brown did.
That's right. That's what I was going to say. You can be coach of the year and get fired.
If you don't win a championship, they're going to tie, you know, brick to your waist and throw you in the river because they don't care. They won a championship. LeBron, you know, that's... And I don't know if there was any contact between Izzo and LeBron. You know, they say they don't know.
I read a couple of days ago that Izzo was supposed to try and reach out to LeBron and just to get a feel for what he was thinking, and so, you know, it is what it is. I mean, Izzo, if he talked to LeBron, he made his decision. LeBron said had some, you know, bearing on that decision.
Or the fact that he may have reached out and LeBron didn't, you know, make any contact back, told him, you know,
right,
you don't give a damn if I come or go. I'm staying in, you know, I'm staying in Michigan. I ain't going
I'm staying where they care. You know, sometimes right. You want to go where everybody knows your name.
I mean, it's flattering, you know, it's flattering to be brought up like that, but, you know, that could mess your whole career up.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Izzo has a stranglehold on one of the best fertile recruiting grounds in the country. I mean, you got to think long and hard before you leave. I mean, he got a stranglehold on it.
And you just talked about brand. You know, Izzo's brand is the fact that he brings players in there to play a system of basketball that's successful.
Yep.
And,
right.
And he doesn't have to kowtow to anybody.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't see, you know, I doubt that you'll ever see Izzo in any recruiting violations because he ain't promising them kids anything.
Mm-hmm.
This is what I do. You know, and in a lot of ways, you know, they do the same thing at Wisconsin. You know, this is a program. You come and play at this program, and when you get here, this is what you're expected to do. And if you do that, you can play in the national championship.
That's right.
If you do that, you'll play in the national championship. Now, you can go anywhere you want. You know, for a year or 2 years, find yourself in the NBA or whatever. But if you really want to play college basketball, this is a real nice place to be.
Yeah.
This is how we do it. And if you don't want to do it this way, you know, I don't know what to tell you. He's not really recruiting those head cases.
Yeah, I mean, he can basically say, hey, there are other places for you.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't want to get down with that, you know, there's other places that will have you. This ain't one of them.
Right.
That's right. And in college basketball, I mean, it's the coaches who are the stars. I mean, all these cats got egos, and so I mean, you got to think long and hard about that when you go to the NBA, particularly when it's uncertain that LeBron's not going to be there. And I mean, you almost got to know you're going in a situation you're going to be like Jerry Sloan if you hit
him.
You know, right. It's just like, you know, we're going to build this around you, and these players have got to conform to what you got to do.
Yeah.
But, you know, and I can see if I'm Cleveland, I mean, the one thing about Jerry is say, look, Jerry, we think LeBron might be gone. I mean, Izzo, we think that LeBron might be gone. But, you know, if you come here, we're going to build it around. It's going to be your thing. I mean, it, you know, that's one way to do it. But it's just too many headaches if I'm a college coach to come and deal with that.
Right.
Now I could just control it, you know. And they're going to they building the court and everything else after him. Yeah.
I seen an interview with Coach K the other day. They said, well, you know, what are your aspirations? Is it to go to the NBA? He said, absolutely not.
Yeah.
You know, and you have to believe it. He said he had no desire to coach in the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
Why would he?
Yeah, I think
Why
at some
he?
Point for those guys, you have to know what you are, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A man his age has to know what he is. He knows he's effective doing what he's doing at the college level. He knows why he's effective. And for a lot of those guys, the reason that they're effective is because, you know, one, they have, you know, they can pick their players.
Right.
You know, for the most part, it's not no guarantees whether a kid is going to come, but you can go after kids who fit into what you do.
Yeah.
Whereas in the pros, you know, it is what it is. There's so many things that come into play that it's really hard to get the type of pieces that you need. And then, too, I mean, you got a kid for 4 years.
Yeah.
And that kid's career is finite. Well, you're going to be there
right.
for as long as you need to be there. That
right.
kid's career is finite. So you got his ear. You got his attention because he's got 4 years to maximize his opportunity education-wise, athletically. And whether he does that or not, you still going to be there. Whereas
if Izzo
would have became a pro coach, he would have been immediately the most expensive. He would have immediately became the most expendable piece.
Right.
Nobody's
ever going to question his coaching ability. Nobody, you know, if he would have went to the NBA and flopped, like a lot of coaches go to the NBA and flop, then you wonder, you know, is he really a good coach?
Mm-hmm.
Right now, he can just sit there, go to the, you know, go to the Final Four every what, 2 years?
Yeah.
And you know, nobody's ever going to doubt, you know, his coaching ability. He's a great coach.
And I think that speaks to the fact that they're two different games, same sport, two different games.
Yeah.
I tell people that all the time. College basketball and the pros, same sport, two different games. Like, you can, if you just because you can coach at one level does not mean you can coach at another at the other level, because given all of the things that go into coaching, not just the X's and O's, but being able to manage personalities, being able to mentally prepare a team to win, being able to mentally prepare a team to avoid all of the many distractions that may exist, is just very different. You know,
well,
the world
and
is very different.
When you get on his level, you know, no matter who you bring in, you still know more basketball than that kid you brought in.
Right.
In the NBA, you got guys with, you know, 3 and 4 years experience that think they know basketball better than the coach.
Mm-hmm.
and so that's hard, you know, when you've been the man all those years,
right?
No doubt about who the team leader is in Michigan.
Right. And when you're in college, when you're a college coach, at the end of the day, that kid chose to come and play for you.
Yep.
You know, and you always got that. You came here to play for me.
Right.
I didn't, you know, you decided to come here and play for me. In the pros, hey, I got drafted by this team. I got traded here. I don't know you from
right.
Billy from up the street. And you telling me what I need to do with my game?
Yeah, and I think, you know, as we are, you know, kind of turning here into the final part of the show, one of the things that I did want to put out here with the finals here in the Lakers crushing the Celtics. Lamar actually took off the man purse and said he's in his game again.
He took off his satchel.
His satchel. He said, "I want a light beer. I want a Bud Light, not just a light beer."
What a Zima! With a Zima.
He tried to pull it all together. I know you want to talk a little about, you know, conversation about Kobe, and people begin to make these comparisons, particularly if Kobe, you know, if they win and Kobe and Jordan. Marcus, I know you want to get into that. So
absolutely.
I know people have been in your ear about that, so I know you got something to say.
Absolutely. This is a message to all the Kobe fans out there, okay? Now, listen, I am not a Kobe hater, nor am I a Kobe fan, okay? I appreciate the young man's game. I believe he's one of the greats. But any conversation about Kobe being a great is going to revolve around where he falls after Michael Jordan. All right, he's never going to be in a conversation as being on a level with Mike for a lot of reasons. But I have one reason, and this one reason alone is inarguable. Okay, you can't argue this reason. All right, and I think it's something that we oftentimes overlook. All right, Kobe is in his, I think, eighth finals right now. Is this his eighth finals, right?
Right. Yep.
He is, at this point, 5-2 in finals. Mike, 6 finals, 6 rings. End of story. Mike never lost the finals. Mike never lost the finals. Mike was always the top dog. He never lost the finals. If Kobe loses this finals, that'll be 3 finals he's lost. That's actually a lot. If Kobe was on Mike's level, he would have already surpassed Mike in championships by now.
Right.
He would be going for his 8th title if he was at Mike's level.
Well, that, you know, there's no denying that Kobe Bryant is going to go down in history as one of the greats.
Absolutely.
But again,
any conversation around that is going to be, is he number
absolutely.
2?
Right. Exactly. You know, I'm 48 years old. I remember when basketball was a team sport. You know. And Mike just messed that up, and everybody's trying to emulate that since, you know. These teams with 2 or 3 superstars, you know, when you have a guy like Kobe, you have a chance. You have a chance to win a championship.
But then you go further. You go further and look at it, though. All the teams that Kobe lost to were teams.
Exactly.
All the teams that Kobe lost to were teams. Detroit. The 04 Pistons.
Sure.
He lost to the 08 Celtics. And if they lose this one, again, another team where there isn't one guy who who is carrying the load, but it's a group of guys.
Right. Well, you know, I think when Mike figured it out, then nobody stopped him. Nobody stopped him. He ran into some hard times those early years when he didn't quite have the personnel, didn't have the offense that really set him off. When he didn't have that solid jump shot.
Mm-hmm.
He evolved. You know, he evolved. And once he became, you know, the true ultimate player. I mean, when he busted Boston for 63 points, you were impressed that he scored 63 points, but you weren't impressed that they didn't win that series.
Right.
You know, and that's, you know, when Kobe got off for 38 the other night and lost, I kind of chuckled, you know, because that's not going to win you a championship.
And also, you know, people talk about, you know, how Kobe and LeBron don't have enough help. And I understand that. But if you look at those Bulls rosters, it wasn't like they was oozing with talent.
No.
It was not like they was oozing with talent. I mean, in the middle, I mean, you got Luke Longley. You got Bill Cartwright, Bill Winnington, Will Perdue, Stacey King. I mean, you got some dudes who are on milk cards. You know, these cats is on milk cards, man. You had to have four or five guys just to equal one legitimate dude center, you know, to get the production of a legitimate center. You had to put four or five guys out there. You know?
And even in the backcourt,
I mean, Paxson, Armstrong, Kurt, all solid, all decent. But I would actually say Mo Williams was probably better than all of them.
Yeah. And Marcus, I guess my argument would be with, you know, the first three championships that Kobe won in L.A., you know, Shaq, for the most part, was still one of the most dominant players in the league.
Exactly.
So it was as much Shaq's team as it was Kobe's team. Really, the Kobe-Michael clock starts with this run.
Right.
You know, if he would have won – you know, these last three titles, let's say. You know, if he'd have won the first one in 08, then last year, and then won this year, now you start making those. I mean, you can add in some of the work he did in those first three titles, but now you start saying, you know, a Kobe-led team, he's won all three of his championships. He's won six. But then where he's kind of been the leader, the sole leader, he's won three straight. See, then you can start to make those comparisons. That's why I agree with you that Jordan was the dog when he
was the dog, and he went 6-0.
He went 6-0. I have to give
that. He went 6-0 in the finals, and it wasn't like he was playing no cupcakes. He took on the Blazers when they was loaded. He took on the Lakers when they was loaded. You know, he beat a Utah team that was hungry. He beat Phoenix when they was loaded. You know, they beat people.
I will say that in the Sonics series. They might have gave that one away by not putting Gary Payton on Jordan, but I'll leave it alone. That was
Well, hey, you know what? You know, they say them Carolina boys roll together, and Carl may have gave that one away.
Carl gave that one away. I would have slapped him in the head, but I would have come back with something.
Yeah, but you don't know if Payton might have been going, I don't want to guard it. Yeah,
who was the two guard? Was it Hersey Hawkins on those teams?
They put Hersey Hawkins on him. I'm like looking at it like,
come on,
you
man.
Got money? You got money on the game? Come on, man. You got the best defender in the league. You know he play on competition, and you wait till game three to put him on Jordan? Are you crazy? Come on,
because the
man.
Other Bulls point, the other Bulls backcourt guard was Ron Harper was just too much.
Too much.
Ron was too much.
Yeah, I couldn't believe that. I'm like, so he's point shaving. He's point shaving out here. What's going on? But
Carolina,
you make
boys
a good,
stick together.
Oh, that's right. You make a good argument on this, and you know, it can always play it well, but that his ability, he struggles. I mean, even in the game before this, the last game in Boston, I mean, he almost went back to his old ways in terms of how he was working with his teammates and going at it. And I think, you know, he's growing right now, but like you said, he's in the room. He's in the room. But he's not, you know, and Jordan is a guy sitting at the end of the table. But, you know, when you start making these, you know, two or more championships, you got to be in, you're in the room. But, you know, he's not doing the Jordan stuff.
Nah. And even beside the championships, You know, again, Kobe defensively, while it's believed that he has the ability to play excellent defense, you know, and he's shown that he can play excellent defense. He don't do it all the time. You know what I mean? Whereas Mike, he won the Defensive Player of the Year.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? People forget that. Like, these young cats forget that. You know, and I'm young myself, but I vividly remember watching Mike play. And you know, nothing Kobe's doing is going to erase those memories from my mind. I mean, just understanding, like, how dominant Michael Jordan was. Like, I actually didn't like Michael Jordan when I was younger. Because he just won. Like, you knew he was going to win. And that was no fun for me. That was not good theater for me as a sports fan, going into an event knowing who was going to win. Feeling like I knew the outcome just didn't make it enjoyable to watch Michael Jordan just step on somebody's throat, yank out their heart, and, you know, put their eyeballs in his pocket.
But that's what, you know, Kobe is like Notre Dame. Shit, you either love him or you hate him. You either love him or you hate him. Yeah, we were talking earlier.
He moves the needle. He moves the needle.
Yeah,
you know?
We were talking earlier. I tell you, when Kobe is in that huddle and he's telling the, and they're winning, and he's telling the guys, you know, we got to do this, we got to do that. You know, he looks like the consummate player. You know, the team player, the coach on the floor. But let them fall behind, and he starts nipping at them guys, and you can just see them. They put their tail between their legs. They're like, you know, they don't want to hear that. They don't want to say, shut up, you know. I blew that. Yes, I did. Where were you at?
Yeah.
You know? Where were you at?
Yeah.
You know, when your guy gets by you, I'm over there to help. You know, he got by me. Where you at? You over here yelling at me.
Yeah. That's, you know, I mean, I just look at that Laker team. I don't know, man. I ain't going to say it, but I look at it, and it's like, I don't know. It's like pea soup, man. I look at Lamar Odom, and he makes you angry. You like, this cat should just be dominating.
How is he not getting 15 rebounds a game?
Yeah.
You should get a mark. You should get a mark stats up for him, man, every night.
They play, when they're on, and I think you hit on it a couple weeks ago, D, you know, when you're at home court, you know, those shots fall for Odom. Those shots fall for Artest. Those shots, you know, they're going to fall for him. And this Boston team has to figure that out. You know, that's, you know, as Phil got on the air and said, you know, this team loses games in the fourth quarter, somebody needs to tell Boston, you know, this team hasn't beaten them twice yet.
Yeah.
They've not beaten them twice in a row yet. And this, you know, would appear to be the most complete game that L.A. has played. Just like game five was the most complete game that Boston has played. This game seven is going to be, you know, interesting. It's going to be.
I really do hope that Perkins comes back. And I'm rooting for Boston. I'm going to throw that out already. So I'm really hoping that Perkins comes back because, you know, their front line is not, for one, it's not as deep, obviously. But it doesn't have the same impact on the game as it does when Perkins is in there, because with Perkins in there, you can play one post guy one-on-one and not have to worry about helping or doubling.
Well,
how
many times did the Lakers go straight to the hole tonight, straight to the cup? Right from the front. And with Perkins in there, you just don't get to do that.
Yeah.
You don't get to do that. You got to come, you know, you might have to shoot left-handed. You might have to come from the far outside. You might have to do something else. But tonight, L.A. was coming right from the free throw line in. And with Perkins in there, you just don't get to do that. It's going to make a difference. So I hope his knee is not damaged. You know, I hope he's not a bindum. I hope he's, you know, he can give you more than 13 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I think in looking at, you know, Bynum going to the locker room, I mean, this game seven is going to be, you don't even know what's going to happen. Who's going to be the people to step up? I mean, the Laker players play well, but they bench don't play well two games in a row. So this thing's got all kinds of questions. Sitting up here, you got to figure out what Phil is going to complain about next. You know, it's got to, you know, all
now,
nuances are going to be out here. This game seven is going to be something for you.
Oh yeah, this is going to be, you know, the lead up to it is going to be is going to be major. Hopefully the game lives up to the lead up, but the lead up for it is going to be major.
Yeah, I mean, I know flying back from the east to west, Boston getting in there, you know, there's a lot of adjustments. I just think that, you know, they're going to have a couple of days out there. They're going to hear everybody saying they don't have a chance. You know, this pendulum's going to swing back. I think it's going to be a tight down the stretch. This might be one of them games where you see Rondo have a triple-double.
Well, Rondo needs to, man, because he didn't show up tonight.
Yeah,
and, like,
yeah.
When he don't show up, they don't win.
But they were – the whole Boston team, I mean, they were missing layups and dunks.
Yeah.
They weren't grabbing rebounds. It was a bad
kicking
game.
Kicking the ball off their feet.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. They can kind of, you know, it's sad that we all picked, you know, Boston because we don't have a whole lot good to say for the Lakers. We still think Boston can pull this out. And it's, you know, for lack of controversy, but again, you know, Boston played a terrible game tonight. And L.A. played well.
Yeah.
So they
the person,
all there is
the person I love in this series has just been growing by leaps and bounds in a big game is Paul Gasol. I mean, he's just submitting. I mean, he had one bad game, but if you think about his entire playoff run, I think he just had that one bad game in this series. But he's been pretty much doing his thing on a consistent basis. And
I think
I
now he's the best Euro in it. I mean, he's the best European player in the game.
Yeah,
sure.
You know, you might even take him to the park, man.
Perkins is there, Gasol's now coming straight to the cup.
Yeah.
You know, he was leading the fast break tonight, you know, coming down. I couldn't help but think that if Perkins was in there, he wouldn't have blocked the shot, but he would have got in his way. And he probably would have clubbed him in the head and would have kept him out of there. I mean, that's, you know, he, Perkins isn't the most graceful man in the world. He just does what he does really well. So, I mean, And the other big fella, you know, he's not, you know, he ain't getting up and down the court like that. He's not playing that role.
Yeah, Big Baby is, where they're going to have to do is they're going to have to get a foot in the lane, because what they did make the Lakers do tonight is shoot outside and shoot three. And, you know, they have not been shooting well from behind the arc. And what they were doing before was cutting them off and forcing them to kick and forcing guys to make the jump shots. And the guys haven't been making the jump shots. Today, everybody's getting to the rim. And so what the Celtics are going to have to do is get back to find a way to close that middle off and force them to shoot the jump shots. You know, make Ron and some of these other cats beat you. If you don't and you leave it in the fourth and Jack Bauer gets to licking his fingers, much as we say about Kobe not being Mike, he the best thing going right now. And if he get a look at that fourth quarter with a chance to win, woo-wee, you have Snoop Dogg dancing on the sideline.
But they came out early. You know, L.A. came out early and took a big lead and never looked back. It, you know, let Boston do that tomorrow, and you might see Kobe get into a fight on the bench. You know, you might see somebody just jump up and slap him and tell him to shut up. You know, because they melt down. That's the one thing that Boston really didn't do. They kind of looked like, you know, deer in the headlights. They were shocked. You know, Kobe and them, they're going to get mad. You can get them angry early. Let them drop 10, 15 points down in the first half.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to be nitpicking. They're going to be looking at each other, you know. Odom going to say, you know, you shoot too much, you know. And, you know, Kobe going to say, yeah, but you got that third sister, you know. They're going to be fighting there. They're going to fight in there. You know.
Yeah, it'll be, you know, again with the Lakers, man. It's just too much. They got too much sugar in the tank, and their collective tank, they got way too much sugar.
And they just,
for my taste, I can't really get behind a group of guys who are so temperamental and so just.
You know, you would never see Paul Pierce talk to anybody on the Celtics like Kobe was talking to the Lakers. You would never
not
see
out in front of other people.
What's that?
I said not out in front of other people, at least.
No, not to embarrass them. not on, you know, not with the camera sitting right there.
Right.
And nobody, you know, Garnett would reach over and slap him. You know, shut up. You know, you didn't win nothing, with, you know, before I got here. Shut up. You know. We know how to play this game. You don't have to tell us.
Yeah.
You know, we ain't got a break for you to make a commercial. Shut up. You know, you just do what you got to do.
Yeah.
Kobe, he's what I
Ray, tell us how you feel about Kobe.
I just don't like him. You know, I just, I'm sorry, you know. And it's not like when I didn't like Mike. I was kind of like Marcus. When Michael Jordan was playing, it was hard to watch basketball because you just knew what was going to happen. But with Kobe, he's not that good. He just thinks he's that good. And so you sit there and you watch him and you go, yeah, okay. Like I blogged the other day. When Pierce grabbed that rebound out of his hands, and Kobe, he's jumping up and down, and he's yelling at everybody else because he ain't getting involved. Pierce is hiding his smile behind the ball. He's just giggling at Kobe. He's like, look at this bitch. You know, look at him. He's winking at the other players on the Celtics. You know, he's winking at them like, look at that. We got him now. He's hurt. His feelings is hurt. He can't play. He can't come back on us tonight.
He like not when a Prince of Inglewood.
Yeah.
You know,
somebody give him his blank and his pacifier. Tell him to go sit down on the bench. Have Phil put him on his lap and lock him to sleep. It was just, I thought it was hilarious, you know. And he just, you know, and as much as you see, you'll never hear him say that. You'll never hear him say, oh, Kobe's this or that. Oh, Kobe's a good ball player. But in the back of his mind, you know, he's saying, Kobe's a bitch, you know. I don't know how else to put it.
Yeah, you know, I can't argue with that. Like I said, I'm not a Kobe hater, but I'm not a Kobe fan either.
You know, you sit there and you watch him, and there's nobody in the NBA that makes shots like that. LeBron has a couple years to go to polish himself to that level. You know, Kobe can will some stuff out of his team. He can will some stuff out of those players, but when he starts to nag, at him, then you got the Lakers where you want them. Because they're not listening to Phil anymore. They're looking at Kobe like, man, wouldn't I want to put some hot grease on you, you know? I just
see, Kobe's the type of guy that I love to play against when I play ball, because he's the type of guy that you can see when he starts to get frustrated.
Yep.
And you start, you know, you see he started to get on his teammates a little bit. You start going up to him, man, why he dropped that pass? Did you see that? I mean,
right.
Who does that? You know, you start to egg him on, like, man, who does that? You know, you let him, give him a little room to complain, and just let him get more frustrated and more frustrated. Now, I'm sure Kobe ain't gonna let an opponent do that. He's not gonna let an opponent do that. But that's the type of player that he strikes me as. Is that the type of guy who'll sit there and talk to an opponent about how he don't like his teammates, or how terrible his teammates are? And you never want to play with a dude like that.
I just watch. That's the thing I'm loving about this series is that, you know, for the most part, Kobe has had his way with these teams, and he's just not having his way with this team. He realizes, I hope he realizes that without help, they're just a decent ball club. Without Odom, you know, getting his points, they're just a decent ball club.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that, you know, there's going to be a lot of debate, you know. I've never met so many folks who are Lakers fans east of the Mississippi, which I still don't understand. But there's going to be a lot of debate if the Lakers win about Kobe and his legacy. If Celtics win, you know, Paul Pierce and where he fits in terms of his Celtic role, you know, his legacy there, and, you know, and the big three, what's going to happen after that. You know, this is going to be...
But that, you know, with Paul Pierce, you know, you don't compare Paul Pierce with Jordan. You compare Paul Pierce with James Worthy.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and he ain't going to cry about that.
Yeah.
He ain't going to cry about that. You don't, you know, I wouldn't compare him with Pippen because they never played the same time. You know, Pippen was another one I really never cared for. You know, he just cried, and I don't like crying. Pierce, you knock Pierce down, and they don't call it. He looks at the ref. He runs down court, and then the next time you come through the lane, he knocks you down. Don't care if you get a call or not, you know. But he just he don't put it on anybody else. He doesn't blame anybody. He doesn't point fingers. He doesn't yell at anybody. He just plays his game. And when he plays his game and everybody else plays their game, and to me, that's the kind of leader I like to see. Mm-hmm. Paul Pierce goes out and does what he's supposed to do. And then he don't have to say anything. He just look at you like, you should have stepped about two steps in on that shot. You know, that was a bit out of your range. He didn't say right. it. He just looked at you. And you just nod and go, yeah, you're right. But you don't have to feel bad about that because nobody's getting it punked out, you know?
Right, right.
And early in Paul's career, he had to carry a lot of weight on his own. I mean, Paul was doing folks, you know, and the Celtics organization was going through transition, and, you know,
I think that's what those big three appreciate of each other. Garnett did the same thing. Ray Allen had to do the same thing.
Right.
Now
right.
they just
They've
enjoying. They just enjoying each other's company. They all know what they have to do. They don't have to have, you know. And again, I want to make sure I tell you tonight, D. If somebody called me Devon Rivers, I'd be proud. Because Doc is coaching his tail off in this series. He is coaching his tail off in this series. And I'm seeing a side of him that I just never saw before. And he obviously has been this way all along. But, you know, the things that he – when you look into his huddles and the things that he's telling his players, nobody walks out of there mad. Nobody walks out of that huddle angry. Nobody walks out of there like, I knew that. You know, he's giving them information to win a ball game. You know, you look over at Phil Jackson, he's saying, you know, this team, you know, has lost more games in the fourth quarter. Phil, we don't care. We're getting our ass whooped right now. We don't care what they did yesterday. Right now, my ass is hanging out here.
Right.
It's a good stat. It's a good stat, Phil, but damn, it's kind of irrelevant tonight.
And, you know, and that's what I appreciate that. You know, I think, you know, win or lose here, I mean, for Doc Rivers, you know, he is, I think, gained a lot of respect in, you know, in terms of what he brings to the coaching, you know, community. I mean, he's demonstrating that he, you know, he really can, is more than just motivated. He knows the game. So, yeah, I'm happy for him big time. I want to see him win because I like Doc ever since he was a player at Marquette. I just think that this cat has always done his thing. So I'm happy for him on this one. But we're going to have a game seven to look at. And we got a couple minutes left here. Is there anything else we want to hit here before the end of the night that y'all want to hit on?
Vince Young, get your act together. Cut it out. Cut it out, all right? You and Roethlisberger got different skin tones. You get yourself cut. You gonna be hanging with Jamarcus Russell in a minute. Cut it out.
Yeah, you know
he got rings. Ben got rings too.
You can't go to the strip clubs they go to and not expect to see a camera in there. You know. You
surprise.
Can't. You know it ain't like they go into the you know to them nasty strip clubs where they pay them girls by the pound. You know, these are nice places. They got cameras in there. You can't do that.
Yeah, man, all I'm saying is,
and the bottom
you
line
be
is
better
stay,
than that.
Is stay out the strip club. I mean, y'all are millionaires. Stay out the strip club. There's other places you can go. Stay out. Memo, y'all. There's other broaden your horizons. Get out the strip club, y'all. He's different.
But he saw, you know, it's 3:40 in the morning. I can go anywhere I want to go. Nobody's going to be out. Come on. If you're Vince Young, you're in Texas, it's just going to happen.
Just when he got back on top.
Right, just when I feel like, okay, this cat's figured it out. Nope, not quite.
You know, and this ain't going AWOL because you got mental problems. This is
being dumb.
Right.
And
then we
are being dumb and let somebody hype you up and get you in a situation. You know, and then you didn't even knock him out, man. If you're an NFL quarterback, all right, you make money with your arm. If you're going to hit a cat, punch a cat with your hand, with your human fist, if you're going to ball it up and punch somebody as an NFL quarterback with your million-dollar arm, you better knock him out.
Hey.
You can't be throwing the other ones. You can't get into an altercation where you're throwing 6 or 7 punches. You just can't do that.
Knock him out. Well, until next week, y'all, hit us up on Facebook. Check us out next week. We're going to do this again.
Thank you.